from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. They are Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the program. We're hanging out with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, keeping you up to date on everything going on with the Kings and NBA free agency. No news yet. I'm going to say yet. I am 99% confident that they're going to do something. And something significant. Not a Jalen McDaniels trade. I think they're going to trade for a starter.
I hope so.
I am optimistic that that's happening.
I think the interesting thing is that there's like 4 available. Or at least I'd say 3.5 available. I don't consider Cam Johnson like a huge upgrade. He's younger, but I don't
think
that'd
be nice, but it's not a
huge upgrade over Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. If all they did this offseason was go trade for Cam Johnson, that'd feel pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I would too, because you're just swapping out one, you know, top 6, top 7 rotational piece for another. That's where I would look at that trade. And I think the Kings need a top 3, top 4 rotational piece swap out in order to get them into the real conversation, the real.
Yeah. I think if they add Cam Johnson, they're still a team that going into the year we're looking at as, maybe a playoff team, but yeah, if one thing kind of goes sideways, it could be back in the play-in. But if they go get a Lauri Markkanen or a Brandon Ingram or a Kyle Kuzma, now all of a sudden it's,
yeah,
like, this is a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just got to do something, man. I fully understand, and I am rocking with anybody who at this point is like, they got to show me. And I
think that's it.
Checking the chatty house, and I'm looking at youtube.com/ESPN1320 if you want to hang out there. But I'm looking at the chatty house, and there's a lot of people that like, yo, Monty's not giving me any reason to think that he's going to do something here.
Yeah.
And I don't blame anybody who thinks that way.
I'm with you. I do think that like there was an off season where he did like transform the roster like very quickly.
Hang on one sec. I want you to finish that thought. The chatty house is freaking out right now, and they are trying to read between the lines on our mics turning off at the break, and then the nature of the conversation.
Oh.
Nothing new was said at the break.
No.
It was more just corroboration.
Just comparing notes.
Yes. Nothing new happened. I just wanted to get that, make that very clear.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean anything at this point.
Sure.
Like something could pop like instantly.
Yes.
Something could wait until tomorrow, the next day.
And if something pops, we'll have it for you. Either us on the insiders or D'Lo and Casey.
Yeah. We'll be all over it. And for that matter, we'll drop back in. Like that's kind of like where we're at here. This thing is gone a little crazy, right? So Anyway, I think it's fun. Like this is a fun time of year, and I think that what you don't want to be is a team that, like, in the game of musical chairs here, that's left without a chair.
Well, especially when there's recliners.
Yeah.
And you can get a recliner. You want a folding chair? Like, I'm sorry. It just, yeah. That would be super disappointing.
Well, that and Kyle, I think, like, there isn't a ton of competition for what the Kings are trying to do here. There aren't, like, we're not hearing, like, seven teams attached to Kyle Kuzma. We're not hearing any other team after the Philadelphia 76ers decided to go give, like, a Brinks truck to Paul George.
Which, good for Paul George.
I totally agree. But there's not another team that we're hearing is in the mix right now for Brandon Ingram. Who are you competing with in these deals? Now, we get to Lauri Markkanen, and for some reason, Markkanen and Ingram are going to be, like, considered different. And you're going to have to give Danny Ainge more because you have to pay the Ainge tax for what, unless you're the Lakers, then you don't have to pay the Ainge tax for
whatever
reason.
Which is insane.
It's the strangest thing ever.
Weird.
And I definitely could see the Lakers giving up, like, Rui Hachimura and Jared Vanderbilt and one first-round pick for Lauri Markkanen because that's what Danny Ainge likes to do. But I'm confused about, like, this is a moment where you're competing against not a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to go out there. The aprons have put a whole weird twist on this.
Yes.
Like, the only team that's really done something off-the-wall crazy is the Hartenstein move.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, like, Paul George is a $50 million player. We understand that deal. Mm-hmm. And we understand that they had monstrous amounts of cap space.
They had like three players on their roster.
Yeah, it was like the strangest roster ever. It's Embiid and Paul Reed, and that's it.
And Maxey had the, like, very small cap hold, right?
Well, he had a cap hold, and they were able to bring back Oubre, and they brought in Eric Gordon. They've already filled up most of their cap space. And all that cap space, like, it goes fast when you're spending like this.
Yeah. So if you miss that, the Sixers, just real quick, Paul George got 4 years and $212 million. Tyrese Maxey got the max, 5 years and $204 million. 4 and 212 for George, 5 and 204 for Maxey.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot.
They have Joel Embiid. They signed Eric Gordon. They signed Kelly Oubre. And they have Paul Reed. And a couple of draft picks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the way that they're going to build their team is going to be weird and wild. And yeah. And, like, look, they're a team that you were worried about in the Brandon Ingram sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there anymore.
No, they're out.
And again, Orlando, you were worried about Orlando. Orlando just went out and signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I'm interested in with the Pelicans. Maybe the market just wasn't there like they thought it would be. But originally, the reporting, and this is way back. This is months ago. The original reporting was that they wanted to shop Brandon Ingram in search of a star to place alongside Zion. They didn't think Brandon Ingram was that dude. They didn't want to extend him. But now, and this is I think the Pelicans trying to drive up the price. The reporting is like, well, they would deal him, but they don't necessarily want to. That, I think, is coming from them. Well, I think they very much want to trade him.
They went out and got DeJounte Murray.
Right. But
which was their swing.
And that's the weird thing to me, is they wanted a star, so they went and got DeJounte Murray?
Yeah, but that's how that team is built, man. It's guys that you think are really close to that, and then, it's how many guys are just a step below all-star quality? And you can say Zion, but the problem is Zion can't stay healthy at all, right? And then you had Ingram, who had one all-star appearance, but then it's kind of like he's that step right below an all-star. CJ McCollum, a step right below an all-star. Like, you just keep adding these guys. DeJounte Murray made one all-star team. He's a step below an all-star. And so I think that's kind of how you have to build a team. And you could say the same. They could just flip that around and say, well, what about the Kings? It's like, okay, you're right. De'Aaron Fox made one all-star team. And, Domantas Sabonis made three, but he hasn't made one, and he didn't make one last year.
It's the fact that it was originally billed that they are trying to go get a star.
Yeah.
And it appears that the player that they were searching for was DeJounte Murray.
Sometimes that's who's available.
And they do need a center because Valanciunas is gone. They traded Larry Nance.
Yep.
So they have Zion.
They drafted somebody. They drafted
a draft pick.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but outside of that, yeah, they're a little lean there. And I get it. But the Kings, for all the years that the Kings had 14 centers on their roster, this is a one time where they've got two. Hey, look, we glossed
JaVale
over
McGee's signing a one-year, $3 million deal with the Pelicans, isn't he?
There we go.
Oh, boy.
I love the Alex Len signing. Like, the fact that Alex Len, that just gives you, but Alex Len is always the backup to the backup. Like, he is the backup plan to the backup. And and maybe Trey Lyles is the backup plan, but you need to get the other pieces in order to make Trey Lyles more functional as a small ball five.
1,000%
To do that.
1,000%
And that's where the Kings have the problem. They need Kyle Kuzma. They need Lauri Markkanen. They need Brandon Ingram. They could use two of them, Kyle. Like, full on.
Well,
I don't know that there's a way to get two of them, but they could. And, like, what would that look like? And so, it's going to be an interesting couple of days. And we keep saying that, but, like, look, even someone brings up Sadiq Bey.
I'm in.
I'm a huge Sadiq Bey fan.
You like Sadiq Bey more than I think anybody in my life.
He's more of, like, but, like,
not that there's a lot of people. I don't have, like, a ton of friends who are big Sadiq Bey enthusiasts.
He's a solid starter. I don't think he's, like, anything spectacular. But I did check in, and from what I know, Sadiq Bey is going to miss a good portion of the season due to a torn ACL. Isaiah Stewart's a guy I would, especially, look at what they just went out and got Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe that is a player. Maybe you can work a three-team deal where Isaiah Stewart comes to the Pelicans and Kevin Huerter gets rerouted to Detroit. I don't know, but I certainly know that there are ways to try to get a deal done.
Yeah.
There are avenues. And that's where I said it from the beginning, man. If you're going to get a deal for Ingram, it's got to be a three-team trade. That's why we brought up the whole wild Trey Young thing. And that's why I was also...
And it wound up being DeJounte Murray.
Why didn't you get in on the DeJounte Murray in that whole swap? I think that there was a possibility at that point where you could have got into a three-team deal and made some sort of headway there.
Or did... Yeah. Yeah, maybe. We have to break.
Yep.
We have some good idea or bad ideas from NBA free agency. We'll get into that and we'll keep talking Kings as well. On the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll be back in a second.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James over there. I'm Kyle right here. James in his Dr. Pepper t-shirt. Doing all right?
Yeah, I'm just...
You're multitasking today.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Going on. Look, no breaking news with the Kings yet, but I am very, very... confident in something happening, whether it's today or tomorrow or the next day, or maybe it's after the holiday. I don't, because that's apparently a thing that happens, is there will be like contract negotiations going on, and then you'll be hearing about, you know, the negotiations or whatever, and then there's a holiday and then you just don't hear anything, and it turns out that they just went away for a holiday and then came back and got a deal done after the holiday.
Oh,
I learned recently that happens.
Okay.
I figured in stuff like this, there would be no holidays.
Yeah, this feels like you don't want to get left holding the bag here. Like, like left at the altar, or, you know, put all, like, think that you have something done and then not have it done. Like, the trade that the Kings pulled off is done. It's over. It's done with. We already have the press release, right? The Kings have acquired Jalen McDaniels. The other signing of Alex Len, that's not done yet, but it's done. It's Alex Len. You've had him here. This is his fourth consecutive season in Sacramento. Like, and actually, five of the last 6 years he's been in Sacramento. So, like, I think that when you're in this mode here, you want something secured. You don't want to be the team that thinks they have an agreement with somebody and then have it fall apart. And, like, when it comes to trades and everything else, like, as soon as there's a trade, they're going to lock it down. Like, I don't know that anything can be done until after the moratorium, technically, which is July 6th. Like, everything can kind of be, like, negotiated and stuff, but, like, the press releases and stuff have to wait until then. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those moments where you're working the phones feverishly if you're the Sacramento Kings and you're trying to get something done. And, like, look, you could be talking to the Utah Jazz about Lauri Markkanen because things have kind of quieted with the Brandon Ingram thing, and you're trying to either put a, like, negotiate against them and out on something else, or, you know, it's possible that you could just be out on a, you could have already had things cool and, like, hey, it's not going to happen.
Right. If it reached a point where the Pelicans said, hey, it's got to be Keegan or we don't want anything else.
Yeah.
Then, and if the Kings are done with that, then cool. And maybe there's a Kyle Kuzma deal on the table that the Kings know they can go back to if the Brandon Ingram or Lauri Markkanen things don't work.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah. And then I'm also, like, you look at, I don't think Washington knows what they're doing. Like, I think that who they are, what they're trying to do, but I don't think they know their path forward, because you go and draft a center with the number one pick, with the number two pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out and sign Jonas Valanciunas. And are you a team that's looking to build with Jonas and this young center, and you still want Kyle Kuzma there, or are you not? So that's what I mean. That's where all of a sudden they become a team where you're like, this is awkward. We don't really know what you're trying to do here.
Yeah, and then they traded Denny Avdija for...
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. Like, how much did that impact where the Kings are at with the other guys? Because all of a sudden you're getting a two first-round picks for Denny and a very solid player in Malcolm Brogdon, and that throw that into the mix as well. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they have Malcolm Brogdon and Jordan Poole and Jonas Valanciunas and Kyle Kuzma, and like, where do they stand in the Eastern Conference? Like, even though they won 17 games last season or whatever it was, like, you start to, like, the wheels churn in your head, and, like, can you get better?
Right, and any team that thinks, hey, there's a modicum of a chance that we could be a playoff team going into the year.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to operate accordingly.
Yeah, and then when they get to December 1st and they realize that they're not, maybe that's when they start making the deals.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, look, I think the Kings have, we talked about this before, they probably have six whiteboards. They have a different avenue to take with every single one of them. Like, if you get this player, what's the next step? Who else are we going to go out and chase? Can we go out and get a Caleb Martin? Can you go out and trade for Jared Vanderbilt? What can you do after the fact that you make the move, the first move?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, you got to get the first move done. And like, if they had the deal done, we would have already seen it. It would have been like, you know, Kings fans are either angry or celebrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got an interesting question on social media that I want to wait for. Let's get to good idea or bad idea real quick. Got some NBA free agency stuff for you. Derek Jones, right before free agency, changed agents, which means he has a 15-day waiting period.
Yeah. It's like buying a gun in certain states. If you change your agent, you can't do anything for like 15 days. But of course, he did go out and get a deal.
Somehow wound up with a 3-year and $30 million deal from the Clippers.
Yeah, but he lost his Dallas deal because of it, it seems like. And they also were able to get Najee Marshall because they were concerned about what was happening. Like, I've told you the story. Like, I was invited to go with Scal Labissiere to Haiti.
Yes.
And then at the last second, Scal changed agents. And when he changed agents, it threw everything in a big thing where they're like, there was no point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
And the NBA said, yeah, we're not sending security. We're not doing this. Because it's literally on the no travel list for the U.S., especially now. It's like, then, though, it was on the no travel list.
Sure.
So.
Bad idea to change your agent right before free agency.
Bad idea. Like, I
do don't, it during the season or something.
Do it three weeks ago. Do it like, you look at the window and you're like, oh, okay, I've got to do it before June 14th.
Yeah.
And then I'm okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Make a play, Derek. Number two, Paul George got paid. Chris Paul didn't necessarily get paid. He got $11 million from the Spurs. And it looks like the Mavericks and the Lakers are in hot pursuit of Klay Thompson. Chasing aging veterans. Good idea or bad idea?
I don't think it's a great idea. Like, over the last couple of years, we keep seeing, like, diminishing results in these types of deals.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's a great idea, especially for teams that aren't there yet. And I don't know.
I don't think that veterans are necessarily, like, a monolith here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the Paul George deal for the Sixers. You had to do something.
Yeah.
You had to bring somebody in. Paul George can play. and now he's the number three option behind Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. I like that idea. What it looks like in year three or four of that deal, don't know. But they're trying to get Joel Embiid to the conference finals one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that deal for them. The Chris Paul deal, fine. Bring him in for $11 million. You can trade him. He's a good pairing with Victor Wembanyama in theory. Okay, cool. And then the Klay Thompson deal, I'm fascinated to see what his market is like. Fascinated.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to get 2 years and $50 million or if he's going to get 2 years and $20 million. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's very, so very strange.
TBD on whether it's a good idea to try and get Klay Thompson or not.
Yeah, and I don't know that he's a guy who completely changes the complexity of your future and who you are as a basketball team in this mm-hmm. season or next or the year after. Mm-hmm. Like, I just kind of think he is what he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, in all honesty, at this point in their careers, this might sound crazy. I would much rather have Malik Monk than I would Klay Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the cachet of Klay Thompson. And I understand that Klay Thompson still has an elite skill and that skill isn't going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't change the fact that, like, he's not the same defender. He's not a creator. He's not somebody who can create for others or himself. He's not a great rebounder. There are, like, so many things that you just look at and say, okay.
He's a spot-up shooter at this point.
He's basically Kyle Korver at this point.
Mm.
And, like, that's okay.
He's a little bit better all-around scorer, but yeah.
Yeah,
essentially.
I mean, he's still fine and he's still going to be part of something with Dallas, but I also don't think that you get into a playoff series and you're like, okay, we have to game. I mean, I think you're mm-hmm. at this point, you're putting him in the same sort of, like, in your scout, is same as PJ Washington.
Sure.
Like, don't leave him open. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right.
Last one. The NBA is starting to enforce its tampering rules, which is why free agency didn't open with the announcement of like 19 deals that were illegally negotiated. And that's why it's felt a little bit slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if you're going to have rules in place,
yeah,
enforce them. Either that or change your calendar around.
I agree. I also think that, like, if you're going to have a big draft show, right? And you're going to even stretch it out to 2 days. Mm-hmm. How about you tell agents that and teams do not leak out who mm-hmm. is being drafted?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that's as big a thing that, like, there's some things that are fun here and other things. Like, why would you even watch the second round draft show when you're just going to get a notification 3 minutes before every single pick
yep.
that who is in pursuit of some player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know who's getting drafted every step of the way. So it's just really bizarre.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a very, very odd thing. Let's keep talking Kings. They have not made a significant deal just yet, but it sounds like some things might be percolating, some things might be cooking.
Yeah.
TBD. I'm of the mind there's going to be a deal to be made. So stay locked into ESPN 1320. If something does happen, we'll have it for you. We'll continue discussing what Brandon Ingram would do for them, what Kyle Kuzma would do for them, what Lauri Markkanen would do for them. We'll get into some of the contractual stuff with those as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. You're listening to ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Oh, well, there it is. Got some non-Kings news. Klay Thompson is signing with the Dallas Mavericks on a three-year deal worth $50 million. The Klay Thompson era in Golden State is officially over. Klay Thompson is a Dallas Maverick. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And good for the Mavs.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'd rather have Klay Thompson than Maxi Kleba. Like, here's where I land with Klay. Obviously, for obvious reasons, love him. And always will. His jersey will go on the rafters at Chase Center, and he'll have a statue, I'm guessing. When I watched the Mavs in the finals...
Mm-hmm.
There were too many times that they had players on the court that I thought should probably not be playing in a finals game.
Yeah.
Maxi Kleba got a lot of burn. And I'm sorry, Maxi Kleba should not probably be a key rotation piece for you in the finals. I'm not even 100% sure Josh Green should be that guy. But Klay definitely, even as diminished as he is at this point, can give you real contributions in a finals series.
That's possible. I would also look at like what Klay Thompson has done in the playoffs the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they've got to the finals, mm-hmm. by the time they've gotten to the playoffs, mm-hmm. there isn't much left.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be a concern.
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying. Like, so first of all, we don't know the parameters of the deal, but it looks like they traded Josh Green as part of this to the Charlotte Hornets.
To the Hornets.
Yeah, so there's a multi-team trade that which includes sign-in trades and includes the Warriors, but I'm not sure. So we're going to have to wait how the dust settles on this. But yeah, this is going to be a weird one. Part of a multi-team sign-in trade that'll send Josh Green to Charlotte. So yeah, I'm intrigued. I definitely am intrigued to see how it all plays out here. And what the pieces are in play, but yeah, it's a little wild.
Oh, and according to Mark Stein, the Clippers have emerged as a strong contender to sign Nicholas Batum. The West is back up.
Oh, there it is.
No, here's where just from the Kings' perspective with the Mavericks, because I think the Mavericks are in a tier above the Kings in the West right now,
mm-hmm.
and I feel good about saying that. I don't feel good about saying that. I feel confident in saying that. Klay does not move them up a tier necessarily in the West for me.
No.
I think they're probably, if they were going to be a 3 or 4 seed next year, I think they're probably still going to be about a 3 or 4 seed.
Yes. I think he probably makes them a stronger, like it gives them, I don't know, more cachet. Like they have a potential to be a little stronger.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, like more like of a,
They're just deeper.
You put them out there and you understand what you're getting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but
well, they had the same problem. Like they had a similar problem to me, not apples to apples because the teams are different, but the Kings at the end of the year, it's something Anthony Slater brought up when he was on with me and Jesse last week, but the Kings by the end of the year just didn't have enough dudes that you felt good about playing in a big game. They just need to be a little deeper.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's what this offseason's about. I think the Mavs, when you watch them in the finals, it's like, yeah, hey, this team just needs to be deeper.
Oh, no. I
they
totally
just don't
agree.
Have enough dudes. And I think Klay Thompson is a in that respect, in a this guy belongs in this game kind of sense. I think he's still a dude.
No, I would agree with you. I would just look at
it. He doesn't make the Mavs more dangerous in a regular season matchup to me.
Yeah, totally, totally.
It's not in any substantial way at this point.
No. And I also think that, like, Derek Jones Jr., what he was doing there for them, the way he played versus Najee Marshall, I think that, you know, they're different types. They're similar styles of player, but I also think that, like, there's some positives there that Derek Jones brought. Mm-hmm. And I thought the way that he grew during the playoffs was really interesting.
Yep.
I don't know that Derek Jones goes and repeats that somewhere else. I think Najee Marshall repeats who he is because he's just, like, an instigator and, like, chaos player.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, like, I don't know that they improve there. They sure. Certainly, one of them makes more money. So, I want to see how their roster looks at the end of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, there might be a way that team is back in the finals. I wouldn't bank. If I was choosing them against the field, I'm taking the field without any question. But I'm also, like, I probably wouldn't put them in my top three.
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay, let's do this. Tiers in the West. Tier one, championship contending tier.
Today?
Today, right now. Minnesota?
I'm going to say OKC, Minnesota, and probably Dallas.
Dallas is there. Denver is not. Denver has fallen back a tier for you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to drop them back just a little bit. As of today, because they just lost two of the rotational pieces in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Reggie Jackson, and whether Reggie Jackson is great or not.
Reggie wasn't really playing, though.
Well, no, I mean, he did play on the regular season. I mean, he played a lot of games, and, like, he mattered to them.
Okay.
So, I mean, maybe I'm crazy there, but, you know, like, Reggie Jackson averaged...
I don't know that... Let me, instead of getting to semantics of what's a rotation player and what's not, that's not enough for me to knock them back a tier out of the championship contending, but... Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, if you're replacing him with Russell Westbrook, like, that just fundamentally changes what you do as a team.
Oh, no, totally.
Because Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a player that when he's spotted up in the corner, you have to defend him.
Mm-hmm.
When Russell Westbrook spotted up in the corner, you're actively hoping he shoots it.
Here's an interesting stat. First of all, Reggie Jackson played in all 82 games last year.
Holy smokes.
He averaged 10.2 points per game, which is 0.1 more than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope did for that Denver Nuggets team.
Well, I'll be damned.
22 minutes per game. You know, he was a very, very solid player, 3.8 assists. Like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a great defender and a physical player, and I think Dallas got worse. I mean, I think Denver got worse when they lost him. I also think Christian Brown is going to be a really good player, and they'll be able to fill some of that void.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not convinced that they're going to be as good. And this is 2 years in a row where they lost probably their best perimeter defender or their best perimeter defender. Last year it was Bruce Brown. This year it's KCP.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, like, you can't keep losing really, really good, solid top 4 or 5 of your rotation NBA veterans, especially guys who have a very specific role. And that's where, like, for the Kings, I like the Devin Carter. I think at worst, he's going to be KCP. I think that's sort of like what you're hoping, that he's going to be one of those guys that holds down a position, a starting job for a decade or 12 years in the league as, like, a starting 3-and-D NBA shooting guard. That's what you hope. Whether he gets there or not, we'll see. But losing KCP hurts them, I think.
Woj just reported that Klay Thompson had 4-year offers with more money, but taking less was offset by the chance to win a fifth championship with the Mavs and the difference in state taxes. I think that's the first time I've ever seen it explicitly reported that a player went somewhere because of the state taxes.
Well, I'm also like,
I know it's always kind of there, but
I don't want to, like, you know, it's D'Lo and Casey that do the like
pocket watching,
but hasn't Klay Thompson made like a bajillion dollars in his career?
Yeah, one bajillion.
I think it is one bajillion. It's possible it's 1.3 bajillion.
if you want to be specific, sure.
Yeah, I mean, including his salary last year, you're looking at a guy who's made $268 million in his career. $268, $269.
Hey, honestly, good for Klay.
Well, no, that's not my point. My point is that if you're gonna be watching tax dollars, like if you're worried about 10% of your salary in California versus Dallas when you've made $268 million, then you might have bigger problems to worry about.
Okay, so what's 3 and 50? That's 17-ish a year, 16-ish a year.
Yeah.
But 16.5 a year, we'll call it, just for the sake of it. If he had 4 years and $16.5 million per year on the table with the Lakers, if you want to win a title, Dallas gives you a better shot, right?
Oh, I would agree.
I don't know.
I guess that depends on what you're betting on. Are you betting on yourself being the piece that helps push a team like the Lakers over the top? Or are you thinking that you can be a really, really good, solid role player with Dallas?
Oh, I forgot Dallas got Quentin Grimes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Is he better than Josh Green?
Well, I don't know. Josh Green is a good defender.
Yeah, so is Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, he's also... Quentin Grimes had a little more offensive game.
Does Dallas finish ahead of Denver in the standings?
As of today, probably. But again, we're not to the end.
No.
So, I mean, that's where I think, like, if we're going to keep doing tiers, we'd have to do tiers like 6 times.
Yeah. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We got the handoff with D'Lo or Casey. I'm not sure which one's pulling up today. But one of D'Lo or Casey will be in here coming up in about 5 minutes. No big moves for the Kings yet. And it's just honestly, like, at this point, I don't think there's anything that's going to happen one way or the other that makes me feel differently about... I'm right now, I'm optimistic that the Kings are going to do something significant, whether it's Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, or Lauri Markkanen. Like, one of those three players is going to wind up in Sacramento in the next day or two or three or however many days it takes to get it done. But to your point, if it is Brandon Ingram, if it is that player and the Pelicans say, yeah, that's great, but we need a center, we need to loop in a third team to try and get a center in here. Like, that just complicates things. This is not a matter of the Kings. At least I think, maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong here, please correct me. But I don't think it's like Monty McNair and his front office staff are sitting there with offers on the table for each player, and they're just like, not sure if I like this deal or not.
No.
Like, I think there's active, like, talks happening, because this isn't. I think super straightforward to acquire any of those guys.
Well, I also think that there's a point where you're looking around and you're a team who has a all-NBA center, and you're going to back him up with a guy that you're comfortable with, and then you already have a small ball center, right? So the Kings weren't actively shopping the center market in the NBA for another player to come in and fill a void. And then all of a sudden you're in the middle of a negotiation about trying to land a player, and the other team goes, we sure would like a center. And you're like
oh, come on.
Well, you're like, okay, bro, well, who would you like? Like, do you have a list? What is it? Because we're not shopping for centers over here.
Yeah.
We're shopping for Brandon Ingram.
And the Kings don't have centers to give up.
They don't have a center
to
give up.
Can't even include one in the deal.
No, they let that ship sail when they waived Nerlens Noel and Nemias Kata last summer.
I knew it would come back to bite them.
That totally came back to bite them.
This is kind of interesting. Friend of the show, Anthony Slater, just reported that the Warriors haven't agreed to any Klay Thompson sign and trade with Dallas.
Oh.
Could still happen, but negotiation / finalization would still be needed. Oh, that's interesting.
A deal is not close, according to Chris Haynes as well.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Shams. Ooh.
Oh.
Hey, how much do you think Woj loved tweeting the Paul George news? One of my buddies in one of my group chats brought that up last night. I was like, that's a great point. Because Shams originally reported that the Sixers were out on Paul George.
Oh.
And then Woj broke the news that they signed into the four-year $212 million deal.
There's been a lot of craziness. Like the Jake Fisher stuff on draft night, where like he had the deal done for six going in, like a swap of 6 and 9. And that whole deal, and then had to come back and wait, that's not happening. Wait, they're drafting this player. Yeah, that was wild.
Jake Fisher from Yahoo Sports said that the framework has been agreed to with Josh Green to Charlotte. What goes back to the Warriors has not yet been finalized.
Oh.
Huh.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'm not sure what's happening here.
I think Klay Thompson's going to play for the Mavericks. I think that's kind of the...
yeah, because...
I think that's the overarching theme here.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, he can take the MLE from them. I believe they have the full MLE at like, I don't know.
12.9?
Yeah, but it's 12.9 starting. So, I mean, it's only 5% raises. So, probably like $41 million. I mean, it's off the $50 million number, but still close enough. It just feels really strange that Klay Thompson may no longer be part of the Golden State Warriors.
Kenny Caraway in the building for the handoff. Kenny, I don't know if you saw it, but reporting now says that the Mavericks are acquiring Klay Thompson, although there's differing reports on whether the sign-and-trade has been agreed to or not on the Warriors side. But we've been talking a lot about the West today because there's only, like, we know the Kings are in pursuit of Brandon Ingram. And we know about Kyle Kuzma, and then Lauri Markkanen might now be in the mix. Mm-hmm. Might now be in the mix. So it's just kind of a waiting game on that. Mm-hmm. Let's actually start with the Kings. I'm optimistic that they're going to get a significant deal done for one of those three guys.
Absolutely.
Are you in that boat as well?
Absolutely. I'm a big believer, and I talked about it on Friday. I talked about it with you on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That draft pick of Devin Carter, first of all, what's up, James? Welcome back.
What's up, man?
that draft pick of Devin Carter, I don't want to say, like, I've been talking about, I don't want to be like, oh, they just got, like, these deals just lined up in their back pocket. I don't know if it's that simplistic, but they drafted Devin Carter knowing they're moving on from Davion Mitchell, knowing they're moving on from Kevin Huerter, and they have deals lined up on the table. Mm-hmm. That they're trying to figure out what they want to do. And there was a Jake Fisher reported on Friday, James, and we talked about it a little bit. There was wording in there that kind of sparked my interest. Hmm. And he said something about, in this tweet, he said, the Kings are trying to decide what, something to the effect of, they're trying to decide what path they want to go down. And that told me they have options, like they – whatever one they choose, say there's three paths they want to go to, they're there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's Kuzma, Ingram, and LaVine, and they're trying to figure out which one they want to go down. But it's not, oh, we're hoping to get so-and-so. I don't want to say deals are done. Once again, I don't want to say that. But it's there for them. Whatever path they want to go down, it's there for them, and they're trying to figure out the cost of those different paths, the plus minuses of those different paths, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do. One of them might involve giving up somebody that they really like, but that's the best player on their list. You know, like if it's just throwing out a name, if it's Ingram and you have to give up Keegan Murray,
you're still trying to trade Keegan. That's crazy.
Huh?
Still trying to trade Keegan. Unbelievable,
never,
this guy.
Never
unbelievable, this guy.
But they may say Ingram is their best.
Would you do
their
that?
Best option. I would think about it only if
jokes
I
aside,
had.
I don't want to do the bit where you're trying to trade Keegan. I don't.
Yeah.
But this is a very like real thing.
If you got a wink wink promise from Brandon Ingram, I would think about it. I still don't know if I would do it. But I would think about it.
Would you, James?
I wouldn't. Like at this point,
even if you had a crystal ball and knew he's re-signing.
Okay, but that's impossible to know. And the fact that you have Keegan Murray. Well, I get you. But you have Keegan Murray under control for another 2 years at a basement price.
Mm-hmm,
and then even his next price caps out at what Brandon Ingram is capping out right now, not what Brandon Ingram will cap out at.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're losing so many years of service and all that stuff.
Sure.
And look, Brandon Ingram, I haven't looked, but I'm guessing he's only 2 years older than Keegan Murray.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram's 20.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's like 26.
He's 26, and Lauri Markkanen is 27, and Keegan Murray just is. He wasn't a young rookie, and Keegan Murray is 23. Will turn 24 in August. So you're
That's
talking about
wild.
But my point is though that you have that whole second contract of Keegan, where he will be under contract all through the years that we're talking about when it comes to Ingram. So, I mean, that's just so much different. Ingram came into the league. He's been in the league 8 years, and that's he's 26
that
years old.
That is crazy.
Where did it go? Chef Monty in the chat. I agree with them on this. I'm not putting Keegan in that deal because I don't think you get significantly better with Brandon Ingram, and then you're dealing Keegan and whatever else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got to have both.
I agree with you. I think Brandon Ingram's a better player than Keegan Murray for sure, but I don't think it gets you to the stratosphere that you need to go to give up that kind of player.
I don't know. So this is what we always talk about with Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
My thought of Brandon Ingram doesn't necessarily match the exact production, right?
Yes.
Like I look at Brandon Ingram as one of them dudes, right? Like he's really? One of them dudes.
Yeah.
And then you look at his Basketball Reference or whatever, and he averaged like 20 points per game.
He's nice.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
I think in that hypothetical situation, I try to do everything in my power to keep Keegan Murray here. But yes. One of the things that if they're like, nope, it's a deal breaker, and say Kuzma's deal's gone, all these other deals that you had are gone by the wayside now, and this is your opportunity to get better in the offseason. You ask yourself, who's the better player? Who's the better player? You come away with the better player. I understand the contracts, and I agree with you. But who's better, Keegan or Brandon Ingram? Brandon Ingram, regardless of what we feel about Brandon, he's a two-time All-Star. Is Keegan Murray going to be a two-time All-Star?
You have to take money into account.
Okay, so here's a broader question. Let's just take Keegan off the table.
Yes,
it's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay, so
I love Keegan Murray.
I don't
think he'd be on the table realistically anyway. So
you have three deals on the table, and Brandon Ingram, Lauri Markkanen, and Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Where would you go? Knowing that the cost of Kuzma is going to be less and he's under contract for 3 years.
And the cost in a trade.
Yeah, it's going to be less. Knowing that the other two are more injury prone, but throw all that out the window. If you can add one of those to your core of four, which one would it be?
I'd probably go Kyle Kuzma, all things considered.
I would too.
Although I believe Brandon Ingram is the best player of all three of those guys.
You think he's better than Lauri Markkanen?
Yeah.
See, I think the fit of Lauri Markkanen is intriguing next to Sabonis. Another 7-footer that can stretch the floor, but they can do a whole lot of other stuff.
He's the truth. He fits great in Sacramento. The reason why I look at Brandon Ingram as being the best is he's the one that is less reliant on the people around him.
Yeah.
He can go get you. He can lead a team. We've seen him do it. He was the best player on that Pelicans team that pushed Phoenix the 6 games when Willie Green was crying that time. Zion was gone. It was Ingram's team. CJ McCollum wasn't even there.
Yeah.
It was Ingram's team, and he was a problem. He got them through the play-in. He got them 2 wins in that first round series. He was a problem. He's the best player, but the other things are a factor, like what you talk about. Markkanen might be the best fit. Kuzma might be the best. Like, he may cost you the least.
He's going to cost you the least not only today, but through the next 3 years.
Right, if the Kuzma deal is Herter and Duarte in a first, where now all of a sudden you're keeping Harrison Barnes, and now you have Harrison Barnes coming off the bench in a smaller role. Like, I think that makes you better than whatever you're dealing for Brandon Ingram. Plus, it's less expensive. It gives you additional flexibility down the line. It gives you additional flexibility with what picks you have to trade down the line. Like, that to me, like, is the move. But I also understand why the Kings would explore all possible options to try and get Brandon Ingram here or Lauri Markkanen.
James, because I know me and Kyle talked about it real quick, but do you think what I think is accurate, that Monty has different avenues that he can go down? He's got trades on the table, and he's trying to figure out which one is best for this team and this franchise?
I think that's very possible, but I also think that he's not playing. I'm pretty sure he's not playing in a world where Keegan Murray is part of the conversation.
I don't think he is either. I don't think he is. Especially if you have options, right? Like if New Orleans is saying we want Keegan Murray in the deal, I can just go start talking to Washington. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I don't have to do that. You know what I mean? I can start hammering out a deal with the Washington Wizards, or I could see, you know, what Utah's talking about. And the one that's in the back pocket is always Zach LaVine. He's always in the back because nobody else wants him. If you feel like you have to make a move, I'm just saying he's in the back pocket.
If no other team in the league is making that move, then you shouldn't either.
They make stupid decisions.
It feels like because the Kyle Kuzma deal got reported so heavily leading up to the 13th pick, and then we've heard nothing since. That, to me, makes it feel like there's a deal on the table. The Kings know they can go back to it. There's not a ton out there for Kuzma on the trade market, and the Kings are now exploring some other stuff.
I kind of got the opinion that day that when they traded Denny Avdija, that the price went up, and the Kings are like,
price of the pick going up. What do you got coming up on D'Lo and Casey?
Giants-Dodgers this weekend was...
Huge series. No, yeah, it was big time. Tyler Fitzgerald was great.
It's NBA.
Yeah. Got that coming up for you on D'Lo and Casey. That's James Hamm back in the building. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. A big shout out to them. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, D'Lo and Casey have got you. Drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.